Blog Talk Radio.
Johnny is a joker.
He's a bird.
A very funny joker.
He's a bird.
But when he jokes, my honey,
he's a dog.
His joking ain't so funny.
What a dog.
Johnny is a joker that's a trying to steal my baby.
He's a bird dog.
Johnny sings a love song
like a bird.
Sings the sweetest love song
you ever heard.
But when he sings to my gal,
what a howl.
To me he does a wolf dog
on the prowl.
Johnny wants to fly away and puppy love my baby.
The bird dog.
Hey bird dog, get away from my quail. Hey bird dog, you're on the wrong trail. Bird dog, you better leave my lovely love alone. Hey bird dog, get away from my chick. Hey bird dog, you better get away quick. Bird dog, you better find a chick and little of your own. Johnny kissed the teacher.
He's a bird.
He tiptoed up to reach her.
He's a bird.
Well, he's the teacher's pet now.
He's a dog.
What he wants, he can get now.
Well, what a dog.
He even made the teacher let him sit next to my baby.
He's a bird dog.
Hey, bird dog, get away from my quail. Hey, bird dog, you're on the wrong trail. Bird dog, you better leave my lovely love alone.
Dedicate that song to John Kerry. He's a bird. Yeah, Mr. State Department. Between him and Obama, there's going to be not a country left that wants to talk to us. It is ridiculous. And tonight, what do we have? We have a planned evacuation of Libya. This is the Libya that Obama went and liberated, him and Hillary, blood clot Clinton. We came, we saw, we killed him. Yeah, and then they came back and killed us. And now they're coming back again to kill us. And of course, as usual, we're not ready. So what we're going to do is make a movie. And the movie is going to consist of 6 Osprey helicopters, 250 Marines, and they'll be in Libya in 2 hours from Sagunella Air Force Base in Italy. 1,000 miles away, they'll be there in 2 hours. Isn't that wonderful? But they couldn't get there that night, and those guys hung on for more than 2 hours. No, and Leon Panetta said, we can't go in there, guns a-blazing. We don't know the layout. Then why did you put those guys in harm's way, Leon? Leon the genius. Yeah, you know, it's different when you have a job. Hell, Leon? Unbelievable. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Now we're all going to get to see in real time what those guys could have seen the night they were on the rooftop taking mortar rounds. Never forget, they laser-painted the mortar platoon that was setting up. All the C-130 gunship had to do was come in and fire on the laser lit. Yes. But, of course, hello, listen, we're surrounded here. We're up on the rooftop. We're waiting to hear that cavalry bugle. Hello, are you there? Listen, we've laser-painted the mortars. It's easy to come in on the first round and sweep, and you'll be able to take them all out. And if you can't do that, get a jet fighter over here flying Mach 2. You should be here in half an hour. And let him just kick in the afterburners if he can't shoot anybody. And that'll give them an indication help is on the way. And they'll back off, maybe. We'll get lucky. Hello? Are you listening? Hello? I'm talking to you. Can't you hear me? I know you're there, you bastards. Don't hang up that phone. And that's how that went. That's how that went, and there's got to be payback. Payback from the grave. Nobody gets off the hook on Benghazi. Nobody. I hope you're listening there, General Dempsey. Dempsey Dumpster. I never see this guy in a combat zone. Every time I see him, he's playing basketball or giving out awards. It is sad, man. We're in trouble. We can't get out of our own way. We can't go to the moon anymore. The Russians won't let us. The Russians are mad at us. Now they won't even, they're selling the oil, all the oil. They won't let us buy any because we don't have any oil. No, we can't have any oil. We've been bad. We sent out drilling rigs to Brazil, and then we loaned the Brazilian government Social Security money so they could drill the oil and sell it to China. And China has all our secrets. Yeah, and what's that guy's name that went to China to give the secrets, and they picked the ones they wanted, and then he went to Russia and gave them the rest? Snowden. Yeah, he's a hero in the colleges. Yeah, in the communist colleges. He's a big hero. It is really sad. It is unbelievable. So what else is coming up against us tonight in the Valley of Death? Yeah, yea, though I walk through the Democrat evil party, I shall fear no evil because it's all around me. Okay, this is from lifenews.com. I'm big on pro-life. Girls, if you're out there, don't let anybody tell you it's only a piece of tissue. Because if you let it live and you let it grow, it's going to look like you and it's going to call you mommy. And one day it's going to make your heart shine. And when people look at you and look at your child, they're going to see the relationship. They're going to see the likeness, the image and likeness of God. So here's the current top stories. Second teen girl almost forced to get an abortion after another teen held at the clinic against her will. So now they're holding these kids, you know, and people that bring these girls in, these young girls in, sometimes are the ones that raped them. And now they're bringing them in to get rid of the evidence. 8 months pregnant, she is being shackled while awaiting death for rejecting Islam. You know that story, right? Where's that taking place? Is that taking place in Yemen? Was it Yemen? I'm not sure. This couple stepped up to adopt a baby when a teen girl said no to abortion. I wonder if you stood outside an abortion clinic with cash and offered to buy the babies as the women were going in. How many would take the money? Pro-abortion Democrats, they were all a pro-abortion. The Democrat Party is the party of death. The Democrat Party is the party of abortions. The Democrat Party is the party of burn the flag. The Democrat Party is the party that kicked God off the party platform at the last convention. They have no God. They hate this country. Just look at Obama and Michelle. Oh, this is the first time in my life I'm proud to be an American. After we got the White House and Obama came in with 3 mil and now we're up to 9 mil. And we're lying about that, too. Yeah, yeah. It must be nice, huh, to win the lotto. Yeah. Give me a break, man. Pro-abortion Democrats face grim prospect of losing the Senate in November. I was sad to hear today that Mitch McConnell beat the Tea Party contender. I was sad to hear that, and I'll tell you why. Old Match, 40 days before 9/11, voted to burn the American flag, the Flag Desecration Act. 40 Democrats voted to burn it, and 8 Republicans joined in. And 2 of them were Mitch McConnell and Thad Cochran. The others are all out of office. These are the 2 guys left. And I got a feeling that even though Mitch put down the Tea Party candidate by outspending him 20-1, that the match is in violation of the spirit of America, a party rule. And that rule is one term per termite. And if I had my way, and if you had your way, we would have the largest champagne contribution published in the media. And you know what that would be? $1. Whether you're GE or Joe the plumber, the most you can contribute to the bribe money that's going to these champagne a fund users would be $1, be you Joe the Plumber or GE. And that would make every, the beggar on the street, his vote would be as important as the vote of Hollywood. Yes, okay, going back to pro-life news, this video will make you rethink abortion in cases of rape or incest. Mail order abortions, Plan B drug now available for sale at Amazon. Nobody is going to pass up money, my friends. One thing you must realize, when drugs first came into the United States, I saw them. I saw them march uptown Manhattan. They were downtown, and within months, they kept moving from neighborhood to neighborhood until eventually they covered all of Manhattan. There were neighborhoods in Manhattan were completely drug-free. But money is the root of all evil, and drug money especially. And politicians take drug money, they take abortion money, they'll take any kind of money you got. There was a situation when George Bush was president, and he was visited in a Texas hotel by King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia. And guess who showed up and took a room? Bill Clinton. Just happened to be there at the same time. And when after King Abdullah left, the papers announced that Bill Clinton had converted to Islam. And then they printed a reaction. It was they had to convert reals to dollars. Yeah, unbelievable, huh? I'll tell you another one. Bill Clinton was in Saudi Arabia, and he got an honorarium for $350,000 for just stopping in and saying hello. Who else was in Saudi Arabia at that time? The black sheep of the family, the Bush that nobody talks about. Neil Bush, yeah, and he was there. He was selling educational books. Yeah, and you know what I say? When you get to the top, it's all the same people. So, Bill, tell me, yeah, what did you want to know, George? How's your library coming? Oh, we're doing good with the library. Oh, man, we're selling T-shirts. Yeah, like the World Trade Center. They're selling. Imagine that crap they're selling down at the World Trade Center. Souvenirs of 9/11. What are you, sick? What pervert dreamt that up? I'd love to go down here and say, oh, you know what? I'll take a dozen iron girder crosses. Oh, no, we're not selling those. Well, how about, do you have a picture of all the Catholics that died that day? Oh, no, we're not selling that. How about the stewardess hands that were tied together? Have you got a little symbol of that? The two pair that were found at the World Trade Center? How do you know that? That was covered up. Yeah, that's right. How do you know that? That was covered up. Yeah, because I got it straight from the horse's mouth. I could tell you stories that would make you enjoy your grandmother's preserves. Mail order abortions we covered. Parents desperately search for food their baby can eat without dying. That's a tough one. Planned Parenthood didn't bother to call 911 because hemorrhaging not unusual after abortion. They used to talk about abortions in back alleys, and then the Democrats said, we're not going to kill them in back alleys anymore. We're going to kill them in the front office. And I happened to have a buddy who was sitting uptown in a bar with me, and he got a phone call, and he had his girlfriend called him from downtown, and she was sitting in a park bench in Central Park, and she was hemorrhaging from a botched abortion. So be careful what you do with your body, because you only get one. Pro-life majority, 80% of voters in competitive states want abortion restricted. Brave teen dies from cancer after raising millions for cancer charity. New York abortion bill allows shooting babies through the heart with poison to kill them. Have you ever seen what a little baby looks like? You know, a bird's egg fell out of its nest in my front steps the other day. And I recalled a scene when I was a young kid in Washington Heights, New York, a pigeon egg that fell from a windowsill, and there was a little baby chick in it. And that's when I knew the meaning of life. As a little kid, I knew that life begins in an egg. And when you break it, you kill somebody. National Association for the Abortion of Colored People, NAACP, opposes race-based abortion ban. You may not know this, but the stats for black abortion is very high. It's horrendous. And, man, if you ever wanted to wipe out a race of people, abortion is the way to do it. Planned Parenthood kills 3,000 babies a day. 1,200 are white, 1,100 are black, and 700 are Latino. Now, if you look at those figures, if the whites are 66% of the population, and they're killing 1,200 babies a day, and the blacks are 13% of the population, and they're killing 1,100 babies a day, what does that tell you? There's genocide going on. Planned genocide. Pro-life group lays out plan of action to World Health Assembly to reduce deaths of newborns. Justin Trudeau stands with China and North Korea for abortion on demand. I don't know who Justin Trudeau is. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon may veto pro-life bill for 72-hour waiting period before abortion. Remember who's taking these, you know, it's really sad. The woman is bearing all of the responsibility. The guys are off the hook. It is really sad. And you want to know how sad it is when Hollywood convinces you that abortion is good. And I'll give you a classic example. You remember the movie The Godfather? And The Godfather, Michael, thought his wife had a miscarriage. And in the movie, she gets into the face of a murderer, a mafia murderer, and she says, "I didn't have a miscarriage. I had an abortion because I don't want any other murderers coming into this world." And my question was, how do you know he wasn't going to be a pianist? How do you know he wasn't going to be a priest? You judged without holding a trial. One of these days I'm going to do Willie in the Womb. I'm going to do an interview with Willie in the Womb, the voice that never gets heard. Planned Parenthood using a member of the Irish Parliament to push abortion in Ireland. Ireland used to be the land of saints and scholars. And now look at it. Drugs. Drugs and abortion. You know, it used to be they had to go to England to kill the kids, which is ironic, right? Because the Brits have been killing the Irish for years. But what are you going to do? Just remember, that's a little child in there, no matter what stage it's at. And if you really want to look at real life instead of playing video games, do a walkthrough in an abortion clinic and just see what's in the bucket. Or if you want to get an idea of what's in a bucket, go to YouTube and click on Save the Kids, Abu Tam. Save the Kids, Abu Tam. And listen to the beautiful music and see the horror of abortion. So having said that, we're going to sneak out and we'll do a number. We'll give you a number. What should we give you? Give you something good? Have you been good? Do you deserve good music? You want to do a little French Arabic? Oh, and by the way, speaking of French Arabic, instead of Obama a phone, how about we give away Rosetta Stone, and in 3 weeks, everybody in the country will be speaking English. No more Obama phone. Give us Rosetta Stone. 3 weeks you can be speaking English, and you can fire all the interpreters. Singing in English. I know a guy that hated school, never studied, finally gets out of school. He meets a beautiful Brazilian girl. He falls in love. What do you think he does? He orders Rosetta Stone. And in 3 weeks, he's speaking a Brazilian like he's lived in a village all his life. That's what people will do for love. And if that guy can do it just to impress a girl, I'm sure that we immigrants can learn English in 3 weeks, a month, and we don't have to rely on somebody telling you what you don't know while lying to you and saying that's what he said. And if you ever felt uncomfortable when people speak in a foreign language that you don't understand, you always think that they're talking about you. And they are. I'm looking at a book. It's called The Red Cocaine. It's got a picture of Lenin on the cover, a hammer and sickle, and in the hammer is a hypodermic needle and some crack rocks in the sickle. It's written by a guy named Joseph D. Douglas, and it was written back in, I think, the 40s or the 50s. And It's about how drugs are part of chemical warfare by the communists in the takedown of America. And I often say every time you smoke a joint, you kill a Mexican. But America doesn't look that way. We're all bold, on the edge of the envelope, experimentalists. Yes, like we're the first generation that ever learned how to get high. We're the new world odor. Building, this is chapter 3, building the Latin American drug network. Now, you think that these cartels have no communist connections, right? The Czechoslovak component of the Soviet drug offensive began in 1960 on two fronts. Asia, which is Indonesia, India, and Burma. Did you ever see a Pakistani drug addict? You know how they take their drugs? They slice their skin. And they got guys look like rubber tree plants. Because of the special relevance, because of the special relevance of Cuba to the growth of illegal drugs and narcotics in the USA, the Soviet, Czechoslovak, and Cuban operation deserves close scrutiny. In the late summer of 1960, just a year and a half after Fidel Castro seized power, his brother Raul, who's running the country now, visited Czechoslovakia in search of military aid and assistance. At that time, Fidel and the Soviets distrusted each other, which is why the Cubans first approached Czechoslovakia rather than the Soviet Union. Sejna was responsible for receiving the Cuban delegation. Sejna was an intelligence officer, and he is a source for this book. And serving as their host during their visit. One of his first actions was to arrange for Raul Castro to visit the Soviet Union and meet Khrushchev. Following that visit, the Soviets directed Czechoslovakia to work with the Cubans and paved the way for an eventual Soviet takeover of Cuba. The Soviets wanted Czechoslovakia to take the lead, hiding the role of the Soviet Union. They did not want Fidel Castro to be aware of the Soviet operation to infiltrate and take over Cuba. They did not want the United States to be alerted to what was happening. Cuba and Czechoslovakia signed an agreement whereby the Czechoslovaks would help the Cubans obtain military equipment, train the Cubans in military planning and operations, and help organize Cuban intelligence and counterintelligence. In return, Cuba agreed to become a revolutionary center in the West and to allow Czechoslovakia to establish an intelligence station in Cuba. Since 16 Czechoslovak advisors went to Cuba to provide training and help establish their intelligence and counterintelligence operations. This is all about drugs. Cuban intelligence and military structures were heavily influenced by the Soviets. In less than 10 years, the Soviets were in complete control. After the first Cubans had been trained as intelligence agents, they received their first directions from Moscow via Czechoslovakia to infiltrate the United States and all Latin. How could they infiltrate us? We're so tight here, nobody could get through. To infiltrate the United States and all Latin American countries and to produce and distribute drugs and narcotics into the USA. Yeah, so every time you do a drug, you're supporting communism. The instructions from the Soviet Defense Council went to Czechoslovakia, to the Czechoslovakian Defense Council, and thence to Cuba. No sooner had the basic Cuban drug production and trafficking operations started than instructions were received from the Soviet Defense Council to expand the offensive 1961, Czechoslovakia received directions from the Soviet for Cuban intelligence to infiltrate existing, you hear that? Existing drug operations. They were infiltrated by the communists. And the order was sent to this guy, Senchna, for responsibility for coordinating such directions. The main objective of the infiltration was to obtain information on individuals who had been corrupted by drug and narcotics trafficking. Corrupted. Key target groups that were identified were the military, police, government, politics, religions, and business. Additional targets were scientific institutions, military industry, and of course, the universities, which they have done a marvelous job on. A second, I got to tell you something. I have no respect for college graduates, none at all. All I see is the worst of them on TV. I have no respect for them. I'm not impressed. When I see grown women petitioning in Catholic colleges for condom dispensers, there's nothing that can be learned there. A secondary objective was to obtain intelligence on all drug and narcotics production and distribution activity to enable the Soviets to exert strategic control and help prevent the various independent operations from interfering with one another. So they also penetrated organized crime. Intelligence derived from organized crime penetrations also contributed to this objective. And you saw in The Godfather how the mob got into a senator, right, and set him up to control him for the rest of his life. One term per termite. If he falls, it's okay. He'll be gone soon. The first meeting to coordinate the infiltration and collection of data on drug and narcotics corruption that Sedgwick was aware of occurred in 62 at a secret meeting. Other Czechoslovak officials attending the conference were from the Ministry of Interior, Second Administration, KGB intelligence counterpart in Czechoslovakia. And Jimmy from Brooklyn says, Colombia is a graduation point for KGB agents. And he's got the facts to back it up. Military counterintelligence and collecting data on individuals corrupted by drug trafficking, that's both the money and the drugs, both those using drugs or profiting from the trafficking. The Soviets identified large numbers of people who could be bribed, who were susceptible to influence, and most important, were not concerned about the consequences of their actions. Hang in there, we're going to go to a tune, and then I'll come back, I'll read you the rest. So, having said that, and we're going back. Here we are. You want to hear... Oh, we'll do Coma 2 by the Gypsy Kings. How's that?
¡Gracias!
Yeah, Senator Reed, listen, you wouldn't have any cows in there, would you? Mr. Bundy is still missing two cows. No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have. You sure you don't have any in there? Come on, Harry. Obama just took 600,000 acres in New Mexico. You can hide the cattle there. Okay. So, having said that, let us go back at the red cocaine. And you can see how long in the 60s that the Russians and the Chinese were building drug routes into the United States. Let's see, we got some interesting stuff here. As an indication that these numbers are not, these files did not duplicate. They had dossiers on all the drug addicts. 2,500, Czech intelligence had 2,500 dossiers on people in the first category. So the first category is probably the most important people to ply. Their files did not duplicate the dossiers maintained by other who were active in Latin America, the Cubans, East Germans, Hungarians, Bulgarians, and the Soviets, because of cooperation among the intelligence services. Thus, by the late 1960s, the Soviets already possessed corruption data on upwards of 10,000 influential people throughout Latin America. As an indication that these numbers are not unreasonable, in 1971, a Frenchman by the name of Batkun was caught bringing heroin into Canada. He was deported to France and convicted there of exporting heroin. And you remember the movie, what was it, Popeye, you know, The French Connection? That was all heroin. That's all communist-related. The money goes back to the Communist Party. Every time an American kid ODs, the communists make a buck. During the trial, Batkun was identified as a member of the French Communist Party and an agent of the subsection Groupement Cinq of the Soviet KGB. Following his trial, Valeurs Actuelles reported that when arrested, he had in his possession a list of 2,000 heroin addicts in Canada, many of whom were prominent civil servants, artists, radio and television entertainers, and university professors. Corruption, of course, is not confined to Latin America, but includes North America and European countries such as France, Sweden, Austria, Switzerland, Italy, Great Britain, and Germany, of which the last two were identified by the head of the CPSU's International Department, Boris Ponomarev, as the most corrupt, recognizing that the financial institutions that help launder illicit money are part of this network of corruption. So you can see how throughout the world, the Soviets are heavily invested in opiates, the Soviet opiate, and they call it the Latin American atomic bomb, cocaine. And, for example, either the Soviets or other members of the Medellin cartel could have concluded that Letter had become too vocal or too political. Letter was giving radio interviews, I guess it's a guy that was blowing the whistle, and calling cocaine the Latin American atomic bomb. Cocaine was a revolutionary weapon to be used against the imperialists, he explained. The problem with what he was saying was that it focused unnecessary attention on the drug operations, especially the Medellin cartel, of which he was a member, and was close enough to the truth about the Soviet operation that either party could have concluded that Letta had to be silenced. sounds like we're going to find out he did get silenced, huh? The beauty of simply turning him over to the American law enforcement authorities was that it improved the public image of these authorities, even though all they were really doing was acting as disciplinary agents for the drug trafficking organization. Another example is a guy named Ramon Millan Rodriguez, a Miami-based CPA, certified public accountant, who managed a significant proportion of the drug money earned by the Medellin cartel. While in the process of taking $5.3 million in cash out of the United States, he was arrested and subsequently convicted of racketeering. Rodriguez was employed by the cartel to set up safe houses for collecting, counting, and packaging of cash, and also when the time came to pass along some nuclear bombs. He then arranged the shipment of the money, a complex laundering process to various banks. All the banks in Panama were used by Rodriguez in the process. Eventually, he explained most of the money returned to him, which he then invested in real estate, stocks, bonds, and certificates of deposit for the cartel. When Rodriguez first set up the operation, Manuel Antonio Noriega was an army colonel in charge of Panama's intelligence services. Rodriguez testified before a U.S. Senate subcommittee in 1988 that he believed Noriega had very adroitly used the American law enforcement agencies to surgically extract me from the operation while leaving the operation intact for him and his cronies to continue working. The tip-off for Rodriguez's arrest was an anonymous wire, presumably sent by Noriega from Panama to the South Florida Task Force on Drug Interdiction, alerting them to Rodriguez's plans. So, Rodriguez could have been sold out by Noriega. Okay, you remember Noriega, and George Bush, the elder, put him in prison. Okay, so you see that they're building a Latin American drug network. But what I wanted to read you tonight is the casualties of war. Political warfare and drugs in Vietnam. China and the Soviet Union competed for the drug business of U.S. servicemen during the Vietnam War. I'll tell you something I said when the war first broke out. When I saw American troops partying in Saigon, I said, this is wrong. We should not be near any of the Vietnamese population. We should be in the boondocks and fight the war in the boondocks from the boondocks. Because when you go to a city and party, there are people that can gather intelligence from you, and not only that, they can hook you on drugs. China and the Soviet Union competed for the drug business of U.S. servicemen during the Vietnam War. The Chinese dimension of this trafficking represented an extension of what they had learned in the early 50s, not only in the Korean War, but in the French Indochina War as well. During the Indochina War, which culminated with the defeat of the French at Dien Bien Phu, the Chinese worked with the Vietnamese communists to promote drug use by French troops. The tactic was even more successful in Indochina than it had been in Korea. In January 54, the French Lieutenant General Cogny explained to an American Army Operations Officer, Malloy Vaughan, that drugs from China were having a serious effect on the morale of French combat units, and the growing use of drugs among French soldiers was also eroding support for the war back home in France. One of the chief distribution centers was the Chinese gambling city of Cholon, a suburb of Saigon, where the troops went for rest and recreation. Prostitutes there were especially effective in pushing drugs on the French servicemen. This was the first time that the French had run into the use of drugs, and the effects of trafficking were proving to be extremely serious. Not only had drugs upset morale and fighting efficiency, but additionally, can you imagine if drugs are upsetting the morale and fighting efficiency of troops? Can you imagine what Obama's doing with all this gay crap? and this transgender crap and what he's doing to the military. No brave, moral, upstanding American wants any part of that crap, that sick crap. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to quit. And that's what Obama wants. He wants a weakened military because he's working for Putin. Not only had drugs upset morale and fighting efficiency, but additionally, Ted Kennedy went to Russia to get campaign money to compete against Ronald Reagan. And he told the Russians that if Reagan wins, it is going to be bad news for them. But he could look out for them. How's that? Ted Kennedy, you know where he is now? Boiler number 3. He's atoning for the murder of Mary Jo Kopechne. I called him the Chappaquiddick Seal. Imagine that, 9 feet of water he let that girl drown in. She was in that car for at least 2 hours with there. He never even had the decency to go get her help. Because it was all about him and his party. Not only had drugs upset morale and fighting efficiency, but additionally many soldiers were too ashamed, you hear this, to return to France, and instead had elected to be discharged in Indochina where they remained, which had a further debilitating effect on morale. According to Soviet intelligence in 1957, at the third meeting of the Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party, they decided to expand their narcotics offensive, and it was designed as part of the Great Leap Forward. Remember Mao's Great Leap Forward? He was leaping forward with drugs. The decision to expand drug production was adopted as one solution to China's economic problems. In the decision, document 1 paragraph reviewed Chinese experience in Indochina and explained that drug trafficking was beneficial because it undermined the morale of French troops, had introduced combat weakness, and had provided the Chinese with a significant profit. The decision was now made to expand opium poppy farms by 100%, and similarly to double research and production activities, including the marketing of drugs and narcotics, Mexico, United States, and Canada. Poor Mexico, huh? They got a government there that does nothing for the people. That's why the people are here. 20% of the population of Mexico lives in the United States, hides in the United States. In addition to stated economic objectives, there was another motivation of particular importance of the U.S. perspective, preparation for the growing U.S. military presence in Vietnam. As Chou En-lai explained in his 1958 pep talk he delivered at a meeting in Wuhan to discuss increasing opium production. The center has decided to promote poppy cultivation on a large scale. Every one of you must awake to the fact that the war in Vietnam is likely to escalate, and U.S. imperialism has determined to fight against our revolutionary camp by increasing its military force in Vietnam. From the revolutionary point of view, the poppy is a great force to assist the course of our revolution and should be used. From the class point of view, the poppy can also become a powerful weapon to win the proletarian revolution. By exporting large quantities of morphine and heroin, we are able to weaken the U.S. combat force and to defeat it without even fighting at all. Okay, so you can see. And it also says in here, overdoses went from 2 men a month to 60 men. Drug overdoses, 60 men a month. Yeah, the result was a mammoth rise in U.S. military drug use, where there had been 2 deaths per month due to a drug overdose. Suddenly, the statistic rose to 60 per month. In 70 to 71, the U.S. Air Force lost more people to drugs than to combat. How's that? And all those guys came home KIA. They didn't come home OD KIA. That is really terrible, huh? But that's what you're up against, and you don't know it because you're watching ABC, NBC, all of the social tea biscuit channels, and you're not getting the real scoop. And speaking of the real scoop, the vets are getting a real screwing. And you know what's sad about that expose at the VA hospitals? And I don't blame Obama. Obama, he's taken the rap for it, just like George Bush took the rap for 9-1-1. But this has been going on for years. And in 2010, Fox reported that somebody even classified it with a buzzword. I forget what the buzzword was, but it meant covering up the waiting times. You know what's really sad about what was done to these vets? Is that vets never complain because they've been through the system and they know to live with adversity more than the average Sissy Mary that's running around saying he's an American and he has rights. Okay? The vets know. They know how to toughen up. They know how to take the punches. And for them to be abused is like a double crime. And 400-plus congressmen and 100 senators are all to blame. This is not Obama's fault by himself. These guys, not one guy stood up and protested the treatment of vets in the hospital. They didn't care because they were all busy taking champagne contributions, which should be a dollar. The day you send a dollar and that's it, you're the equal of the guy that owns GE or Facebook. Your dollar has as much power as the guy from Facebook because he can only send a dollar too. And God help him if he gets caught slipping money under the table, which should be the death penalty. So let's just say hello to Harry Reid one more time. I think he's in the bathroom. Harry, you got a cow over there? What, are you having a cow? Okay. So what happens when you get your heart broken? You cry, right? Imagine shooting a baby in the heart with a poison. Now, these people that are talking about it's only tissue. It's only tissue and has nothing to do with being a human being. If you can find a baby's heart and you can shoot it with poison, You ever see the needle they use to kill kids? You wouldn't want that needle in your arm. It is really sad, man. We're going to pay for that. We are all going to pay for that. You, me. We're all going to be the toast of the town. Okay, let's see what other news we have here tonight. Rush Limbaugh says there's a death panel at work in Virginia. You interested? Let's see what it says. Read the latest now at Tea Party. Okay. We haven't got time to jump from lead in to lead out. We're going to go to Walid Shubat. Walid Shubat always has good information. Walid Shubat is the Middle East voice of freedom. As soon as you open up his website, please click here to donate to rescue Christians. It's terrible what the Muslims are doing to Christians. Oh, it's the radical Muslims. I forgot to say radical. Yeah. You know what the word for radical is in Arabic? Muslim. Obama embraces the works with major Muslim jihadist leader and international drug. Here we are talking about drugs, and here's Obama, and he's cozying up. Barack Obama has decided to embrace an elevated man who has a history of international drug trafficking. This figure has also recently employed a woman caught in a cyber sex scandal with a major Muslim jihadist. Do you want to get the dirt on these guys? You want to learn the scoop? Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is not unfamiliar with sexual scandals. While in Istanbul, Turkey, in early 2012, she met with a woman who would soon be caught up in her own sex scandal involving a top Syrian rebel commander. That woman, identified by Reuters at the time as a young Syrian pro-democracy activist. I love these communist buzzwords, man. You know, like the National Council of Churches. Has since been hired by the man with whom the Obama administration has chosen to work as the president of the Syrian opposition coalition, and that man's name is Ahmed Jarba, J-A-R-B-A. Ahmed, he's a friend of Obama. We got to go to another website to get the whole story. I hate this. Why can't they give me the whole story in one? Like I do. You go to my website, it just rumbles on and on and on. Okay. During a presidential debate prior to Obama's reinfection, after the Benghazi attacks, the president had embraced Friends of Syria, stating, "We organized the Friends of Syria today. Today the man whom Barack Obama has decided to embrace and elevated has a history that includes drug trafficking as revealed through Arabic sources and exposed here for the first time in English." Taking a sip of soda. "This figure has also recently employed a woman caught in a cyber sex scandal with a major Muslim jihadist." Hey, it's the installment plan. He's getting his virgin in advance. He's got 71 to go. Here is how the story goes. The former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, not unfamiliar with sexual scandals, while in Istanbul, Turkey, in early 2012, she met with a woman who would soon be caught up in her own sex scandal involving a top Assyrian rebel commander, Abdul Razak Talas, which was caught on video. Sexually explicit scenes are blurred. They got the video. Oh, man. Oh, wow. I can't tell you. Here is how the story goes. A former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. Oh, we said that already. That woman was also seen with Hillary Clinton. Photo below. Well, she's looking at Hillary, and Hillary's looking at her. And Hillary's saying, "Stay away from my husband." No, I'm only kidding. It's a nukta. That's Arabic for joke. You want to tell a nukta, you tell a joke. That woman was also seen with Hillary Clinton, identified by Reuters at the time as a young Syrian pro-democracy activist, has has since been hired by the man with whom the Obama administration has chosen to work with as the president of the Syrian opposition coalition, and that man's name is Ahmed Jaber. Some months after meeting with Clinton, media Daghestani was caught engaging in Skype sex with one of the top commanders within the Syrian opposition, Abdul Razak Talas. According to reports, Talas and Daghestani performed for each other without knowing the hackers for the Assad regime were able to hijack her computer. Oh, God. In this screenshot, Daghestani can be seen with Talas in the lower right-hand corner. Daghestani with Talas. Oh, boy. Earlier this year, she was hired by a public relations specialist by Syrian opposition coalition president Ahmed Jaber. Oh, man. Now she's sitting with Obama here. And with a picture of Teddy Roosevelt in the whatever this office is here, and a mantle clock. As was mentioned previously, Jaber has been recognized by the Obama administration and was recently given additional credibility when Obama met with him at the White House during a scheduled meeting Jaber had with National Security Advisor Susan Rice. It was all about a video. Hey, Susan, why don't you show this guy's video? Yeah, that's a video to be shown. Jaber just doesn't hire women ensnared in sex scandals with Syrian jihadists, as Shubat.com obtained from Middle Eastern sources. He also has a history with major drug trafficking between Syria and Lebanon. According to reports, Jaber is close. Oh, listen to this one, man. Jaber is close to Saudi Prince Bandar bin Sultan, who was a key figure in Jaber's new position. Bandar instructed his agents and mercenaries in Syria to appoint Jaber, despite multiple convictions for drug trafficking between Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and the Gulf states, especially in Saudi Arabia. You know they have rehab units. You know, I crossed the bridge from Bahrain to Saudi Arabia. I got a toll receipt. You know what the toll receipt said? The punishment for drugs is death. Yet they got rehab units in Saudi Arabia because princes can bring in anything in diplomatic pouches. Jaber reported utilized contacts he developed in the Syrian embassy to secure his release. And his allegiances are Jaber's predecessor as the face of the Syrian opposition was at one time Ahmed Muwaz al-Khatib, al-Hassani al-Khatib, a Sufi Muslim with loyalties to the Muslim Brotherhood. Jaber appears to be a Saudi agent and belongs to the Shamara, a Saudi clan, which has extensions into Syria. These also doesn't appear to have been any love lost between Jaber and al-Khatib. On the Facebook page, you want more of this? Or you had it, you can't take any more. On the Facebook page, al-Khatib said 40 members walked out on al-Jaber after noticing the corruption. And then the rest is in Arabic. Oh, and there's Hillary with the bodies of the guys from Benghazi, along with Obama, and they're looking serious. And Hillary's all in black, and she doesn't have a blood clot. Yeah, she must have fell after this funeral. Everybody says, "Oh, you know, she didn't have a stroke," and besides, she had a blood clot, and we should respect her for that. I say she didn't hurt herself. Everybody says that she had brain damage. No, she couldn't have brain damage. She landed on her head. A new threat to Israel has come in the form of explosive revelations about weapon shipments by a coalition of Western nations Barack Obama boasted about forming, and then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton publicly promoted and helped launch. Yes, so there's trouble in River City, and it doesn't have anything to do with the pool hall. threats made by Syrian's opposition leaders who have been receiving U.S.-made anti-tank missiles to fight the Assad regime indicate that jihadists he leads would like to make good on Barack Obama's call for Israel to return to the 67 borders. How about Obama returns to the 67 borders? Let him go back to his homeland, Kenya. Can you go back? Can you? Clearly sending anti-tank missiles, as friends of Syria have been doing, to jihadists who threaten Israel does not serve Israel's interests. On the day that Netanyahu rebuked Obama publicly from inside the White House, yes, he called him a jerk. You know what Putin calls him? Putin calls him a monkey with a hand grenade. Who are these friends and allies of the Obama administration? Several months earlier, while in Tunisia, it was then Secretary of State Clinton who held a news conference at the group's first meetings. I got to tell you, these people are out of their league. They're dealing with Muslims who have got 2,000 years of history of treachery. Hillary Clinton is no match, and neither is Barack Obama, and neither is their staff. There's two weaknesses the United States has, and they have had since World War II. Lack of intelligence, we're always the last to know, and the ability to negotiate. We can't negotiate anything. And that's it. John Bolton for chief negotiator. 1 month prior to the Benghazi attacks, Hillary was in Turkey. It is really sad. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Petraeus, in a meeting with Turkish Foreign Minister Ahmet Davutoglu in 2011. Poor Petraeus. He was betrayed. I don't think he knows what happened to him. He's still stunned. He's walking around New York being harassed by Colombia communists carrying a briefcase. It is sad. It is really sad. A couple of months after the Benghazi attacks, Muaz Mustafa, the executive director for the Syrian Emergency Task Force, attended a Friends of Syria meeting in Paris. I got to tell you, the French promote a lot of communists, and the French harbor a lot of terrorists, the Ayatollah Khomeini being number one. And now you know the French are building an aircraft carrier or two for the Russians. Did you know that? Somebody said, it can't be, Tom, can't be. You got it wrong. The Russians must be building one for them. The website underwent quite an overhaul when its political director, ready for this one, Elizabeth Obeghi, O apostrophe, that means she's Irish, found controversy after the chemical attack that occurred in Syria. John McCain, curiously, hired Obeghi as a legislative assistant. John McCain's out of his league. John McCain did nothing for the vets in the VA hospitals. Now he's blaming it all on Obama. Yeah, Obama deserves to be impeached. Obama deserves to be deported back to the country of origin. But you can't blame the VA on Obama, because we all know he hates this country and he hates veterans. So we expect him to give the veterans the shaft. But you, John McCain, pointing the finger at Obama and away from yourself, it was in your state that they had the biggest problem, and not once did you do anything about it. Not once did you do anything about the borders. You're just playing kumbaya, man. And what you should do is retire and open up a Ted Kennedy souvenir shop. So having said that, I'm going to break off. That's our lesson for tonight on how to survive as an American. You don't want to hear the cow moo again, do you? Okay, we'll go to a tune, and we'll exit with a tune. And this is a good one. And this I'm playing for all the guys who sucked it up and died at the VA hospitals. And this is for every GI that's out there, not knowing if he's going to be betrayed. Not knowing. if he can count on hearing that bugle when they ride to his rescue, not knowing if he can count on his own country. So I'm playing this for all you GIs out there, and for your wives and your children, and for your girlfriends and your mothers and your parents. This is all for you. Oh, it's not playing. I don't know what happened. Let me try this one. We'll end this. Nope. Neither of them are playing. Okay, I'm sorry about that. The name of the tune was Draw Me Close to You. It's a religious tune. Draw me close to you, never let me go. So we'll have to give you the old standby. Faith of Our Fathers. Oh, it's not playing. The music's not playing. I don't understand that. What happened? Call the doctor. Okay, we're going to sign off. I'm sorry about that. The music is not playing. That is really sad. Really, really sad. Okay. Have a nice night, folks.